You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Good evening, everyone. It's really a privilege to be back here this Saturday evening to bring forth the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has been so good to us. He has kept us, and we are here again to go into His Word and to see what He's saying to us during this time. We are going to be starting the new series from the Epistles of James. And we're going to begin. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your truth. Thank you that your word is truth. Oh God, thank you that your word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, oh God, almighty Lord, that your word does the work in the hearts, oh God, of your people. And we just thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word. I pray in the name of Jesus, mighty God, that you will empower me to bring forth this word in such a way, mighty God, that others will hear, O God, and decide in their hearts to follow you. And those, O God, who have already been following you, that they will see the need, O God, almighty Lord Jesus, to increase, O God, almighty Lord, their relationship with you. Lord God, we look to you this evening, and we just thank you for your love and for your grace divine. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for what you will be doing for us this evening. And thank you, O God, almighty Lord Jesus, for the access that we have to your word, O God, so that we can walk in truth and love. Father, we just thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I thank you that because of your word, O God, we will not stumble. Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. And we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus. And we say amen. Amen. Praise God. So we are about to begin the Epistle of James. So the Epistle of James was written to the 12 tribes, the Jewish Christians, the 12 tribes of Israel. These are the Jewish Christians which were dispersed abroad. They were scattered all over because of persecution. And we know this happened. And when we read in the book of Acts, after Stephen was killed, there was great persecution in the church, in the early church, in the first church that started. And the saints had to scatter all over. They had to run for their lives. But they did not stop preaching and teaching the good news of Jesus Christ. So James was writing to them. James' letter is a practical teaching relevant to Christians from every walk of life. The main theme in the Epistle of James is to show how the believers in Christ must exercise their faith in their everyday living. Our faith must not just be spoken of, but it must be lived out for everyone to see. James made it clear that faith without works is dead. A dead faith dishonors the resurrected Lord Jesus. A dead faith is worse than not having any faith at all. Faith must bring forth action. True faith manifests itself in works of faith. James made it clear that our faith in Christ gives us power to endure trials, to resist temptations, to be obedient to the word of God. Our faith in Christ causes us not to display prejudice or show favoritism. It allows us to walk in godly wisdom. Our faith in Christ gives us self-control so we can keep our speech seasoned with salt, keeping our words in check. Our faith produces separation from the world and complete submission to God. Our faith gives us power to resist the devil, to draw near and to draw near to God. Our faith in Christ causes us to pray the prayer of faith for the sick and they receive their healing. Our faith in Christ causes us to wait patiently for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here in the epistle of James that he was writing to the dispersed Jews, to the 12 tribes all over, they were scattered. And he wrote to them, encouraging them and reminding them to live a life of faith, faith in Jesus Christ, honoring him by the life they live. So we're going to be turning to James chapter 1, verse 1. The word of God said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. James introduced himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James was the brother of the Lord Jesus. This is a James that was the brother of the Lord Jesus. Remember, the Apostle James was killed by Herod in Acts 12. So this James is the brother of our Lord Jesus. And we can look in Galatians 1, 18 to 19, as Paul spoke about James, the brother of Jesus. Galatians 1, 18 to 19. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. That was Paul speaking there. Verse 19 said, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So James was one of the leaders of the early church in Jerusalem, and he is the Lord's brother. This James became a Christian after Christ's resurrection. When he saw the risen Christ, he believed. Even Christ's own brothers and sisters didn't believe until after the resurrection. When they truly saw that he was resurrected from the dead, they placed their trust in him. So James was the brother of the Lord Jesus. But he did not introduce himself as such. His letter was addressed to the 12 tribes, which represents the Jewish Christians, which were scattered all over the region due to intense persecution from the religious leaders in Jerusalem. So they wanted to silence the Christians, so they persecuted the Christians, wanting them to remain silent, not to speak of Jesus, not to continue to spread the good news. But the word of God is reminding us today that even in the midst of persecution, we should still continue to spread the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of James chapter 1 tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. So James was encouraging the brethren to consider it a pleasure when various trials come their way. So can you imagine, during trials, James is telling the believers to be joyful. So it is showing us also, people of God, that when we are going through rough times, when we are going through difficult times, when trials come our way, we should also have that same mindset to know that we should go through joyfully, because we are not alone. Christ is with us. He promised that he will never leave nor forsake us. He will be with us always, even to the very end of the age. So James was just encouraging the believers to consider it a pleasure. And when we look on trials this way, people of God, we will go through rejoicing, knowing that it's only for a season, it's only for a time, and Christ is there with us, and he will not allow us to suffer more than we are able to bear. But he, with the temptation, will open that door of escape. He is faithful to allow us to escape. So he always make a way out for us. No matter how dark it looks, he always make a way out for us. So we have to go for it with that faith and confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the trials will come, but we are not in it alone. So let us learn to rejoice even in difficult times. This is something that we have to learn as we go along the journey, that we can rejoice even in difficult circumstances. Verse 3 tells us, knowing this, so James said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So James was saying that they must become knowledgeable of this truth, that the testing of their faith produces endurance. So when we are knowledgeable of the truth, that when we're going through testing, this will produce that fruit of endurance in us. Endurance is a fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit. And when we are submitted to the Holy Spirit, when we are yielded to Him, He is able to produce that fruit in us, which we all need. We all need to learn how to endure hardship. So James was saying that they must become knowledgeable of this truth, that the testing of their faith produces endurance. Verse 4 said, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So James was telling the brethren to allow long-suffering, to allow endurance to have its complete work in them, so that they may be mature and whole, lacking nothing. People of God, when we keep running from testing, when we keep running and running from the testing, leaving it before it's complete, then we remain immature. But Christ wants us to be mature in Him. So we have to go through testing. And when we see testing as something that will produce the fruit of endurance in us, then we will stay and go through that trial, knowing that we are not alone, but Christ is with us. And He's able. He's working something good in us through the testing, so that we can become mature Christians. We can become whole, lacking nothing. Christ died that we might be made whole. He died so that we might be complete in Him. So we want to be complete. We want to walk each day knowing that when we have endurance, when the fruit of endurance is produced in us, then we will walk as overcomers. For no matter what comes, we will still know that our victory is in Christ Jesus. The word of God tells us in Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And people of God, when we endure to the end of the testing, the same shall be delivered. The same shall be rescued. When we endure to the end of our testing, we shall be delivered. We shall be rescued from that situation. But many times we run out of the situation before the end of it. So we go back to our immature state. We did not allow the fruit of endurance to be produced in us. So we continue to keep running, and we're running from every situation, and we remain immature, tossed about. But we don't want to be immature, people of God. We want to be mature in Christ Jesus. So we want to endure hardship, endure trials, endure temptation, endure testing as they come, so that Christ's character can be produced in us. Endurance, a fruit of the Spirit, can be produced in us. James chapter 1 verse 5. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James was reminding the brethren that if there was a lack of wisdom among them, they should ask of God, who gives wisdom to all men freely. He gives it freely without scolding them, and they shall receive the wisdom from God. So people of God, if we lack wisdom, we can run to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm lacking wisdom in this area. I need heavenly wisdom. I need wisdom from above. I need godly wisdom to make these decisions. To make these decisions, we need godly wisdom. So we have to run to the Lord and ask Him. He said, if we lack wisdom. So we should know if we lack wisdom. So if we lack wisdom, Go to God, ask of him, and he will give it to us freely. So let us run to our Abba Father and ask him for wisdom. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And when we have wisdom, we will know how to apply the knowledge that we have, that we will walk each day in wholeness. We will walk in love. We will walk in truth. We will walk honoring the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 of James chapter 1. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So James reminded the saints to go to God in faith and do not doubt. We have to go to God in faith, people of God. We have to go confidently to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace. So James reminded the saints to go to God in faith and do not doubt. For the one that doubts is unstable like the wave of the sea that is tossed about by the wind. We don't want to be unstable in our Christian walk, people of God. We want to be stable Christians who know the God that we serve. So when we go to him, we go to him with confidence. We are to know who we are in Christ, who he is to us. He's our Father, our good, good Father. So we can go to him at any time, calling upon him and tell him all our troubles. Tell him all that we need. And he will supply our needs. James chapter 1 verse 7 said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So James was saying that the person who comes to God without faith should not think that they will receive anything from the Lord. When we come to God without faith, we are not pleasing to God. For the word of God tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. For when we come, we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we come, we must come to him knowing who he is. He is God, the Almighty God, omnipotent. He's omniscient, omnipresent. He is the eternal God. He is the self-existent God. There is no God but Jehovah. He is the promise-keeping God. We must know who he is. So we come with such confidence and knowing that who we are as well, that we are his children. So when we come, the word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit bears witness with us that we belong to God. So when we come to him by faith, we know that he will answer us and we will receive anything that we ask from him. But if we come without faith, we have nothing to receive. For we have to know that only by faith can we please God. Only by faith, God is touched with what we go through. So our great high priest said we must come boldly, come with confidence, come with faith to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in the time of need. James chapter 1 verse 8 said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we cannot be of two opinions. We cannot be doubtful and then say we are people of faith. We have to know that we have to completely place our confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So let us ask the Lord to remove every doubt from us and let faith arise. We don't want to be wavering in our faith, but we want to have that stable faith, that concrete faith that is deeply rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. Verse 9 of James chapter 1 said, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Let the brother of low degree, let the brother who is humble be joyful in that he is exalted. The Lord promised to exalt the humble. The Lord promised to exalt the humble, but the proud shall be abased. Look at verse 10 of James chapter 1. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. So James wrote of the rich that he will be abased. He will be made low. He's like the flow of the grass that fades away. So he's here today, he's gone tomorrow. So we have to come to understand that we have to walk in humility, for the Lord promises to exalt the humble. Verse 11 of James chapter 1. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flowers thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So James was comparing the final state of the rich man to the grass and its flowers. When the burning heat of the sun scorches the flowers and they fall, and the beautiful appearance is gone, so the rich man's lavish lifestyle will come to an end, shall come to an end, just like the plant when it's scorched by the sun and it's dried up and it just fades away. So James compared that rich man. He will be living this lavish lifestyle at this moment, and the next minute everything came to an end. So we have to come to understand and set our mind on things above, not on things on this earth, and be rich towards Christ and not be placing our heart and our mind on the riches of this world. But let us come to understand that only the word of God stands forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So we have to come to understand that and walk each day in humility, knowing who we are in Christ, and not seeing ourselves more highly than we ought to see ourselves, but see ourselves in the light that he has made us. So Christ has made us to serve him, to worship him in spirit and in truth. So let us come to that place of worshiping him and putting him at the highest place in our lives. James chapter 1 verse 12. He said, blessed is that man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Blessed, favored. Blessed means happy or favored is that man who hold on to his faith under much trials, under much pressure. Blessed is the man that endure temptation, the man that hold on to his faith under much trials. For after he had gone through the trials and overcome, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to those that love him. So at the coming of the Lord, he shall be rewarded. He shall be rewarded for enduring trials, for enduring temptation. He shall be rewarded for enduring to the end, being an overcomer. When we learn to endure, we become overcomers, because we walk in that victory that Christ has already prepared for us, that Christ has already won for us. So we can be favored, we can be happy even in the midst of trials, even when we are under pressure, even in the midst of trials, we are still holding on to our faith and we are still going on rejoicing in the Lord. For we know what the future holds. We know that we shall receive our reward from Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of God tells us here that we shall receive the crown of life. So there's a crown of life for those who endure trials, for those who are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Verse 13 of James chapter 1. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot tempt us with evil. God will put us through testing, but he does not tempt us with evil. Neither tempted he any man. So God does not tempt, but many times we will be put through testing. But every man, verse 14 said, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So our temptation comes when we allow our old fleshly nature or our old fleshly desire to draw us away and to seduce us. That's when, people of God, when we are tempted, we are drawn away by our own fleshly desire. By our own fleshly desire. So we are not submitted to the Holy Spirit. We are not walking in the Spirit. The Word of God says, walk in the Spirit and we shall not fulfill the desires of our flesh. The Word of God says that many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we want to be mature Christians who will know how to walk, how to be led by the Spirit, that we will not be led by our old fleshly nature, but we will be led by the Spirit, where we will walk each day bringing honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So we have to come to understand that God does not tempt us. No, we are tempted when we are drawn away by our own lust, our own desires, and when we are enticed. So we don't want to be drawn away by our own lust. We don't want to be walking in the flesh. We want to be walking in the Spirit, so we do not fulfill the desires of our flesh. James chapter 1 verse 15 said, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So James states that when lust or our fleshly desire is conceived in our mind, it produces sin. And sin, after it has done its work, it brings forth death. And it can be spiritual death or it can be physical death. For sometimes our sinful activities bring forth devastating consequences. So we have to know that, people of God, we have to run away from sin. We don't want to be practicing sin. And as children of God, we want to live a life free from sin, knowing that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. He is with us and in us, and he enables us when we are unable. So we have him to call upon for help, for strength, for power to resist sin and to walk in truth and holiness. So we can say that we have power to overcome. We have power through the Holy Spirit to walk as overcomers, to walk as victors, and to exercise our faith daily, bringing honor and glory to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we give God thanks for this evening, and we thank him for bringing us this far up to chapter 15 of James chapter 1. And I trust that you have all gleaned something from this chapter. And we pray as we go along that we will learn to exercise our faith so that we will show forth the praise and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you here this evening. Have a wonderful weekend. Let us pray, and when we'll close. Father, we just thank you again for today. Thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for your word to us this evening, reminding us, oh God, how to walk, oh God, in truth, how to endure hardship, how to endure trials, how to become mature Christians, oh God, that we can bring forth glory and honor to you. Father, we just thank you for your empowerment by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for what you're doing for us in this season. And we look to you by faith and give you thanks. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. And we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus. And we say amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time.